Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast. I'm your hostess, Natalie Ross, and this week we are getting down and dirty with depth hypnosis and shamanic healing with our special guest, Rhiannon Morsch. And I'm super excited to bring Rhiannon to you because I have worked with her and I've really enjoyed the presence that she helps to create, the space she creates, and the transformation she facilitates. And something that I see and hear again and again and again in the community is this doubt and wonder around whether distance healing sessions work, whether you can do like shamanic healing or ceremony through distance, or whether you can do hypnosis or anything through distance. And I will tell you all right here and right now, I do almost all of my work with my mentors and teachers and guides and support people through distance, through Skype. I'm always like shamanizing through Skype with Grandma Karina. I do the phone or Skype with Rhiannon, and I have a number of other people that I work with through distance, and it's so powerful. Because think about it, if you are doing work that traverses space and time, you do not have to be in the same space to have an effect. It's so amazing. So I wanted to bring Rhiannon on to hear her story, to share her story, and also to just introduce her to y'all, because these healers and these people who are offering support are so key for each and every one of our personal transformations. I wouldn't be here without the so many people I have sought out support from. And I really, 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 really want to encourage you all to also seek support, whether it's from the people I share with you or whether it's through people who step into your life who feel so right. Just do it. And so now I want to welcome Rhiannon. Hi, Rhiannon.
Hi, Natalie. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here and connect with you and your audience and share this work.
I am so excited to have you and to share you. So before we get started, do you want to do an invocation or some guide us into being present?
Yeah, I did have something. I work with the spirit guides of every single client that I work with. I work with their personal spirit guides, and I like to sometimes call them their entourage. And I just wanted to do a little meditation to invite everyone to connect to their spiritual guidance. So just finding yourself, becoming still, and connecting to your breath. And just noticing how your breath is almost like a bridge between your outer world and your inner world. And with each breath, you draw closer and closer into your inner world. And as you feel yourself connecting to your inner world, this place inside of you where everything you have ever dreamed or thought or imagined is recorded, just inviting your guides to join you in this space, these compassionate fields of energy that have only your highest good as their sole intent. You may feel your guides as an energetic presence, or you may invite your most trusted guide to take a form that is significant to you, such as a beautiful light, a sound, or a teacher in human or plant form, an animal, or a mythical or angelic being. Just opening to this possibility in whatever way feels comfortable to you. And I just want to invite you to stay connected to this energy, this powerful guiding force that has been with you your entire life. As you listen to this podcast, and also to remember that you can call in this energy and connect to your guides whenever you want in your daily life. Whether you are walking down the street or talking with friends or drifting off to sleep, you can always remember and feel that this part of yourself, these guiding, compassionate guides, are always here guiding and protecting you. And just opening your eyes whenever you are ready and returning back to the space.
Aha. I was almost like waiting for other, for like listeners to speak up, like, we're here. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rhiannon.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm feeling, it's interesting because I'm going deep with that and just feeling all of the guides coming in, and it feels so beautiful. And this sacred container is opening, and I can just feel them in a circle around all of us, and
yeah,
makes me a little emotional. We have so much support in the spirit world, and it's sometimes it's easy to forget or feel disconnected, but we have so much support, every single one of us.
Yeah, I want to talk a little more about that, because there's, you know, we have so many guides and so much support, and yet so often we forget about them, or we forget to ask for them to come help us. And I would like to hear your take on working with guides and on inviting them into your life, and like, what can it look like to be in relationship with your guides?
Connecting with guides, I like to think of it as strengthening those muscles to connect with your guides. It's almost like going to the gym and strengthening those muscles. It's the more you do it, the more you open those portals and those connections, the easier it becomes. So once you start calling in your guides and inviting your guides, you'll notice that there's ways that they communicate with you. And one of the main ways is your dreams. So one practice I like to do is, before going to bed at night, asking a question to my guides or something in my life that I need assistance or guidance on, and asking them to show me the answers in my dreams. And this becomes a beautiful practice, to be able to receive information from your dreams, and right when you wake up, writing down your dreams so you don't forget them. And I've had a lot of questions answered this way. I also receive messages from my guides, and many of my clients do, through nature, synchronicities and gifts left in nature. And as you deepen into the work of working with your guides, you just find that you're able to understand this language that they're speaking to you, because they're speaking in metaphor and color and emotion, the language of spirit. And connecting into that language, and you begin to notice these subtle communications and the way that your guides and spirit speak to you in this way, and it becomes more familiar and part of your daily life.
I'm wondering if you have a perspective or experience with, you know, because this is something that people talk about and that I believe, but, you know, maybe you have a different approach. Do you have to ask your guides to come help you? You know, is it, do they wait for you to ask?
It's all about intention. So yes, asking. Yes, definitely ask. Because you're making your intention clear of what you want in your life, what you want to manifest, what you want to heal, what you want to put your focus on, and they will come through. So yes, it's just like when you're a child and you had, many of us had imaginary friends, and you talk to like a friend. Like, I talk to my guides all the time as if I have imaginary friends, and just cultivating that relationship that society, when you grew older, made it seem like, oh, it's weird to talk to your imaginary friends. But actually, it's very beneficial and will assist you on your journey to just talk to your guides as if they're always there, because they are always there as your friends and as people who will come in and help you and offer the support when your intention is clear.
Yeah. Like, how, and also, how are they gonna give you what you want unless you ask? Like,
yeah. Just ask away and ask the highest possibilities. Just ask for it. Yeah.
Very cool. Thanks for that. And so, you were not always a depth hypnosis practitioner. You know, there's the phrase the wounded healer, and I feel like so many people I talk to, actually, let's just say all of them, embody this or have identify with this on some level of they came to their healing because they had their own wounds that they needed to essentially transmute and reintegrate into their wholeness to heal. And I'm wondering, is this the case for you? You know, do you have a wounded healer aspect of your own life?
Yes, Natalie, I definitely identify with the wounded healer. It's just a powerful archetype that greatly informs my medicine, all of my experiences and traumas assist me in helping my clients navigate very similar experiences and traumas. When I was a child, I was deeply connected to the spiritual world, to the natural world. I was a natural medium and very sensitive and empathic. And I was disconnected from all of that. Being raised in a family with multiple levels and different types of abuse. And this abuse and these traumas sort of set the trajectory of my life to unfold in a certain way where in my teenage years, I experienced traumatic sexual violence and started escaping from my pain using drugs and alcohol. And was living in a state of extreme PTSD and trauma, but wasn't necessarily aware of that because I never had therapy. I didn't know what those things were. But I was very disconnected from my power and from my true self. And in my 20s, that manifested as drug and alcohol abuse and extreme anxiety, depression. I really loved painkillers and had an addiction to opiates, and that was a way that I could check out and not feel all of the pain and trauma in my body. I actually began in my mid-20s. I became a sex worker, and I was very disconnected from my body and myself, and I spiraled into great darkness. And I didn't really understand why this was happening. I didn't have any insight into trauma, trauma modalities. I was just living my life and attracting things into my life that matched my vibration.
So yes, I would say you definitely can identify with the wounded healer.
Yes.
I think yeah. And that's, I feel like for so many people, I mean, people can identify on different levels, but like, wow, that's a lot of stuff to have experienced and to have lived through and to have come through out onto the other side, not to judge or shame it as bad, but to just acknowledge that you have stepped through some sort of personal transformation portal and transformed this extreme trauma into a form of healing. And I would say it's allowed you to, as you kind of mentioned earlier, to really connect with the pain and experiences of your clients. And so you can really hold that space for them without the judgment or shame. And you can really hold the space for the potential for their transformation as well. So yeah, that's just incredible. So what was the trigger for you to really awaken from this that you, you know, because you mentioned you didn't even know about PTSD really. So what woke you up to that?
Because I was so checked out and I was also very, cocky and confident and empowered by my lifestyle in the wrong ways. Like I thought I was really cool. So I didn't really know. I mean, I knew that my life was very dark, but, and I had health issues and extreme anxiety issues, but I tried antidepressants and anti-anxieties, and that sort of just masked everything and shoved it down. So it did take a lot for spirit to get to me, and I sort of thrived at on drama at this time, so it was pretty dramatic. Like I said, I was a sex worker, and that definitely took me to an extremely dark place. And What finally got to me was a combination of things. I would say one of them was true love. I met my current wife and I got off antidepressants and anti-anxiety. So all of these things came to the surface that I had been sort of masking and stuffing down. And I stopped doing sex work. And this sort of avalanche of issues around that sort of just fell on top of me, of sexual dysfunction, of I couldn't connect with my wife in the way that she wasn't my wife at the time, but the love of my life in the way that I wanted to. I couldn't show up in this way. And I realized that I had trauma, and I realized that, and it was hard for me to accept that sex work had caused me trauma, because I was one of those people that was constantly, I was a sex work activist. I was like, you know, I was one of those people that was like, sex work is empowering. I would argue with people all the time about how empowered I felt doing it. And so it was embarrassing for me to realize that I needed a lot of healing around that aspect of my life, but not even really that aspect, but everything that was underneath, the sexual trauma that was underneath and my childhood and all of it. My wife and I had sort of taken this impromptu trip to Thailand, and we were there for 5 weeks. And it was a time where I had all these escape mechanisms that I had to escape from myself. And one of them was writing. And I would just write all the time, and I had my own worlds that I would check out into with my writing. And when I was in Thailand, I wasn't able to escape in these ways. I didn't have my painkillers. I didn't have my writing. And I was just surrendering to and being present in life to life in a way that I hadn't been in perhaps my entire life. And I was with this magical being who is my wife, who was able to sort of break open this world of spirit and bring it in for me through her and through nature. And I began to remember this part of myself that I had lost, this part of myself I was connected to when I was a child, this magical part of myself where I was engaged in the world and spirit spoke to me and magic happened. I know I keep using the word magic, but that's just...
Go for it.
All I can say is that magic came back into my life. And really, I had to be cracked open in this way. The darkness cracked me open, just hitting the rock bottom of sex work and drug abuse, and then being cracked open to this magic in a dramatic way, but that's how it had to get to me. And you know, it wasn't just, oh, all of a sudden I'm going to heal my life. I fought it for a little bit. I was writing a novel about my experiences in sex work. I had a really great publisher that was interested. I had a grant for a significant amount of money to work on this novel. And so I was attached. My ego was like, no, this is a struggle. But I eventually threw that novel in the trash. And yeah, I can't say it was one thing. It was a combination of things, one after another, that just transformed my path completely. Because I had a way that I thought my life was going to be. I was going to be this famous writer that was my third book. And, you know, it was all going to go a certain way. And I transformed my whole entire life and said, nope. Another thing that happened is I was also touring, with a feminist spoken word troupe at the same time. And I went on a month tour, and I would perform spoken word, and I actually couldn't speak. I would be on stage and my voice would not work.
Wow.
Like, my voice would go away, like as if I'd been chain smoking all night long. And I was just like, what? This is what I do. I do spoken word. I do performance art. How can I not have a voice? And I did my first ayahuasca ceremony right after that. And one of the questions was that I was asking the medicine was, why can't I speak? Where is my voice? Why? What is going on here? And the message was just loud and clear. You're not speaking your truth. You're not in alignment with your soul's purpose. When you start speaking your truth, when you start living in alignment with your soul's truth, your voice will come back. And when I shifted my life, my voice did come back. And it doesn't happen anymore. And worked on my throat chakra, and yeah, so
wow, it was literally shut down. It was like, no more.
yeah, so some dramatic things that spirit was literally like, no, you're going the wrong direction, this is not, turn around.
Yeah.
Make a turn.
It's so wild that even in your, when you were living without speaking your truth, all of these things were still aligning for you in a certain way. Like you said, you had a publisher and you were going to publish this book and do all this stuff. Like it was still coming together, and you just, so it looked like it was all truly aligned, but it took taking you all the way to losing your voice and doing the ayahuasca journey for you to hear you're not speaking your truth. And that's just, how did it feel for you to walk away from all of that? Because it's an interesting picture that it was so built up and coming together, and to just walk away. I want to look more into that.
It was deep, like ego destruction, because I had sort of built this persona around this identity of myself as a performer and a writer. And so it was just a process of just being like, who am I without these things, this persona, or this identity that I've created? Who am I underneath that? What is really going on? What's really inside? So it was a process of a slow, painful process of ego destruction that spirit helped me with, doing little things along the way. A lot of fire ceremonies, a lot of burning of the old and letting go of the old, and getting rid of stuff that was attached to the past. I just love this idea of the delete button. Like it's such a huge thing to delete a novel from your computer. It's like you've been working on it for 4 or 5 years, and it's just like your lifeblood. It's your baby. And then to just delete it is just like so intense and such a blow to your ego of, but this is my worth. This is who I am. This is how people value me, and then just delete it. And then, oh, well, then who am I now? And then sort of just building yourself up from that point as hopefully, yeah. It's funny talking to you about this stuff because I'm like, oh, remembering it and how intense it was.
I mean, I can only imagine. That's why I had to know more. I'm like, you deleted, you walked away from your novel and everything. But
yeah,
if it was not meant to be and you were to move forward from that point, I can only imagine that even more stuff would happen. Like, you lost your voice, but what else would have started to happen if you barged through and forged through and, you know, forced it to come into being?
Yeah, I've seen that timeline. So there's all these different timelines. We make choices in life. So there's these splits in timelines. And in that timeline, I do become this really successful, famous writer. And I have all that success. But I'm deeply miserable and sad and alone on the inside. So... And that timeline still exists. Like, that timeline is there. I can feel it. So yeah, I had all those things, and I was like this successful person, but my inner world and my traumas are not healed, and they're not. Yeah.
It's like building on quicksand or something.
Yes. Yes. So yeah.
That's so cool.
So yeah, that choice still exists. Choices.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, that leads really nicely into talking about the work you do now. I mean, I know there's so much, and I wouldn't be surprised if someday you wrote another novel based on all of your life now, but maybe there's a timeline for that, right? But you say you looked into this timeline and you could see that. And so, you know, that's kind of a big jump to be like, okay, you were walking away from your novel, you're walking away from sex work, you were going to do whatever it took to essentially speak your truth, whatever that was. You didn't know at the time. You had to go, like, be with it and allow it to come up and show itself to you. So I'm imagining you did all kinds of healing stuff. You said you did fire ceremonies and other types of things, but eventually you landed on doing this shamanic work and depth hypnosis. And was that a modality that helped you to find your truth? Like, how did you connect with this modality?
Yeah, so I mentioned that I had sort of an addictive personality. Like, I was sort of just like, before spirit. So I guess this addictive personality also followed me into when I first stepped on the healing path, because I literally just became addicted to healing.
I think a lot of people can relate.
I was just everywhere, everything, every book, every workshop, every modality. I was flying places, and this went on for 2 years, I think, where I just wanted to know and try everything. And I also felt like it should be this quick fix. Like, oh, now I figured out how all of these traumas, and can I just snap my fingers and do this or that? And, but it definitely takes, it's a life's work. So I was going to one thing after another and just chasing healing and ceremonies, and then a couple things sort of didn't work the way that I wanted, or a little bit like backfired, and I got this strong message that I just needed to stop and surrender and just live life, and the doors would open for me. So I did that, and I just sort of was like, okay, I'm gonna let go. Like, my healing will come when it's supposed to come for each issue, and I just need to focus on the mundane of life, because there's a lot of healing work that comes up and transformation that you can do with just the mundane things in life. The basic thing that's right present and right in front of your face. So I just started doing that, and that's when I'd always been interested in hypnotherapy since I was really young. I was interested in altered states, and I actually used to hypnotize my little sister a little bit and go without even knowing what any of that was. I would take her on guided meditations and take her into other dimensions and other worlds in our heads to get away from our abusive family. We shared a bed, and it was a little escape, and I would take her there. And so I was interested in that idea of altered states and these realms that I used to access. And I started looking into hypnotherapy schools, but I was also very interested in shamanism, and I'd had some really profound healing moments with shamans. And I just felt like these two things could be combined somehow, and I will combine them somehow, shamanism and hypnotherapy. And I had the intention to go to this very stuffy hypnotherapy school that was, and then I also was learning, I had a background in shamanic things that I had, courses and things that I had taken. And I was like, okay, eventually I will combine these things. And then right when I set that intention, suddenly my school that I went to appeared, and it was actually only 7 miles away from my house.
Wow.
And I had been going all over the country trying different things, and here was this modality where my teacher, Isa Gucciardi, had already done this. She combined shamanism and hypnotherapy and Buddhist philosophy and energy medicine, and she created this powerful modality, which is depth hypnosis. And the school appeared when I was ready. The teacher appeared at the right time, and right when I knew right away, oh, this is what I've been looking for. And part of the requirements to be certified was to do 20 sessions on yourself. So I experienced the work, and I was amazed at how powerful it was. And it went deeper than any modality I had tried. Everyone has their own medicine and what works for them, but this was what really worked for me, because I was one of those people that didn't remember very much from my childhood. And just for whatever reason, just didn't accept a lot of it and how traumatic it was. And here is this modality where these things that are blocked from our consciousness, or that we don't remember, or that we refuse to accept happened, can become integrated into consciousness. We can actually go into the shadow with this modality and bring light to what is there. And when I started using this modality on myself as a client myself, I found my life transforming in ways and receiving healing that I just had been seeking with all of these other things that I had been chasing. And I realized that this was my life path, that I wanted to share this work with other people, that if I could help other people, if I could bring this modality to other people who had suffered in the way that I had suffered, or who had trauma, and help them, then that was what I was going to do. I just felt so passionate about it. So right away, when I found Isa and her school, I was okay. You know, I'm doing everything to just, I dropped everything in my life to just focus on. It was a year of intensive training and I jumped in. Yeah.
And you know, I know what the experience is like because I've worked with you a couple times now and we work together continuously, but can you describe for listeners what a session is like when you say it combines hypnotherapy with shamanic practices? What does that really look like or mean?
Yeah, so hypnotherapy, shamanic practices, and energy medicine and Buddhist philosophy. So Issa, my teacher, studied all different kinds of modalities and then sort of synthesized what was working and what she resonated with her own practice and created this modality and also downloaded a lot of techniques from spirit in her meditations. So how it works is with the energy medicine, I'm a channel and a medium. So the guides are essentially working through me. And it's not the same as typical hypnotherapy where you would go into this really deep state where you're not even aware of the room that you're in. It's more just a relaxed state that is actually being created with the guides and with the energy that is channeling through me to create this container where the client is able to go deep into their inner world and into their subconscious. And so, for example, a client will have a presenting problem that they want to work on. And the reason the modality is so powerful is that we're actually able to go to the root of when that modality, or what, excuse me, when that problem first occurred. And that could be in this lifetime or any other lifetime, in between lifetimes, the womb. With traditional hypnotherapy, a lot of times they'll use Erickson suggestion techniques to sort of put a band-aid on the issue and it goes away for a while, but eventually it comes back. With depth hypnosis, we really want to get to where it originally began and do a healing there. So when we find this place that it originally began, a lot of times that could be the first 3 years of life because or anywhere before the age of five, sort of these experiences happen to us that shape our world and how we're perceiving reality and how our subconscious mind is creating reality. And we don't necessarily remember these incidences. And a lot of times they're not even necessarily like huge traumas that you would think they would be. It might just be something very simple like, oh, you were left in the crib too long and you were crying and your caretaker didn't come in and you felt abandoned. But then that abandonment is manifesting in your present life because it's sort of imprinted in your subconscious mind. So that's one example, but we also, all sessions are guided by spirit and your spirit guides. Your spirit guides may bring you to a past lifetime where something significant happened that this energetic thread has carried into your current lifetime, and we call that a karmic pattern. So how do we heal these karmic patterns or traumas once we find them is using shamanic healing methods. So it's this combination of using hypnotherapy to find the original root of the problem and then finding the problem and using shamanic healing methods. So that's anything from soul retrieval, extraction, power retrieval, drum healing, a lot of things that don't have names that spirit just does that I don't know how to describe. So once we find that place, we do a healing there. And this causes a ripple effect. It heals everything connected to that issue that we're healing. So it's like in your past lives, in your present life. And so say something happens to you as a child, and then because of that, something else happens to you as a teen. Okay, so I could use an example from my own life. So I had sexual trauma as a child. And then as a teenager, I had another sexual trauma. And those two things are connected, if you know what I mean. It's a karmic pattern. Mm-hmm. The energy is connected. So healing the original root heals the other situations that are connected, and it creates this profound healing that shifts your present moment and how your present moment and how your subconsciousness, your subconscious is creating your present moment and how you perceive your present moment. So
when I can relate, because, you know, having done all kinds of similar things and experienced that, when that one thing is shifted, the entire experience of your present reality can totally shift. Mm-hmm. Without anyone else or anything else having to change. It's really those lenses through which you're perceiving and creating your reality that have opened up a totally new perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had clients, it's always different for every client. And I've had clients that have had dramatic results after one session. I have clients, you know, that I see them weekly, and there's subtle shifts and subtle changes. The healing sort of comes into your life when the changes come when you're ready, and there's a lot of different timelines for each client. So I can't say that when you go back and change in one session, change something, your whole entire life changes. It's not really like, I've had a few clients where I'm just like, wow, that your life did change really quick. But for each person, it's different. And it's also very layered, like an onion layer. Like, you could heal one thing in one session, and then, oh, there's something else underneath that. And then there's something else deeper underneath that. And then we're going to get into past lives. And then, but yes, it does shift your life and heal you on a very deep, profound level, which is why I'm so excited to offer this work.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it's funny, because hearing you talk about how it's different for everyone, it's like, some people don't want those big peak experiences. Some people like crave them and go after them. And some people want the simple, subtle, tiny shifts that over time create a huge change in trajectory. It's like, we each have our different approaches and what serves us best. It doesn't always have to be this dramatic overhaul. It doesn't always have to be this like bang, pop, wow. Mm-hmm. Those little things are just as valid.
Yeah, I've definitely come to appreciate the subtle.
It's also, I mean, having been a recovering like peak experience seeker, I'm like, oh my God, give me the gentle, subtle shift, because that's profound. That's good.
I love that, recovering peak experience seeker. Yeah, I've been there also, Natalie.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate too. Oh yeah. And not that there's anything wrong with the peak experiences, but just there's a certain point where it's like, wow, that takes a lot of energy to really integrate and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It does. It can really shake things up, and yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate the subtle, say it again.
Exactly. Yeah, so you do this kind of work, and you do it in person, you do it in distance. And, you know, in the beginning, in the intro, I mentioned that we've only ever done this through Skype and through distance. And is this something, do you find a lot of people are like confused about doing it distance? Does it really matter if it's distance? You know, I obviously don't think it matters, but what are your perspectives on this? And not only for the work you do, but just for in general, like for our healing work where we're reaching out for support from other people.
Yeah, I do find that people can hesitate about the distance. But I continue to even be surprised that it's just as powerful. And in the spirit world, time and space don't exist. So so my distance clients have the same powerful healing as my in-person clients, and I can do it on the phone, I can do it over Skype. It doesn't necessarily matter. And like I said, one of the main parts of Depth Hypnosis is working with your own personal spirit guides and with my spirit team. And they don't care if there's an ocean between us. They are there. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. So distance is no barrier.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually really like it because I don't have to get dressed even. I can just like eat breakfast and be in my PJs, do a call, and then get dressed or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You can just relaxing, like relaxing. You're in your own home. What the best place to relax and drop in.
Right. And you don't have to drive anywhere. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally.
It's such a gift that this is available over distance, because it can reach so many more people, and you don't have to have the financial means to get on a plane or go see that healer that you want to see or have take time off work. It's accessible, and that's just really beautiful. And it's just anything that makes this healing work available to more people is just fantastic.
totally. So there's, I feel like this is a good point to pause because, you know, I know there's a lot more to get into, but maybe we'll hop into some more stuff over in the secret episode. And so if this is something you'd be into, I would love to hear more about you and your partner's process of having a baby, because I think I think I know one little thing. I don't know if I read it on Instagram or whatever, but I was like, wow, that is really cool. And if this is something you'd be willing to share and talk about, I think that could be really, really interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that in the secret episode?
Yeah, let's get secret with it.
Okay. Yeah, it's top secret. We have a magic baby and it's top secret.
They asked the spirit guides to bring the baby.
Just appeared on our doorstep and
there it was. Awesome. So yeah, that'll be really cool. And you know, this work you do is super awesome. I mean, the more I do Dream Freedom Beauty, the more I'm just like, I want this to be a podcast and a show and a channel for encouraging people to go get support, because I feel like that's just what we all need, is support from people who can really hold space for us and who really have the tools to help us transform whatever's tripping us up, or to help us get past that that whatever's playing on repeat, you know, it's like there's all these amazing tools and healers out there to help us do our healing work. And I just can't even say it enough to listeners, just do it, like get the work. If you need to trade, like you'll clean someone's sink or kitchen for them in order to get a session, do it, you know, like make it work. Just make it work. It'll, if it's just, the way will open when you open to it. And so where can people find you, Rhiannon?
My website is www.rhiannonmorsch.com. I have a newsletter. You can sign up for my newsletter. And I'm on Instagram, same name. And yeah, I think that's the best place.
Very cool. Connect.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to do a session with you, they can just reach out to you. You've got all the information there. And I hope that people will try it, because I mean, I love this kind of stuff. Obviously I'm like, more, but you know, if listeners are listening and they're like, you know, just try it once. It doesn't have to, you don't have to like jump into some lifelong commitment. Just try something one time, see if it works. If not, try the next. If it does, keep going. Well, thank you so much, Rhiannon. Thank you for sharing your story. I know it's, you know, it's probably, I don't know. Maybe it's easy to share, maybe it's not easy to share, but I think it's definitely something that I appreciate hearing. And I hope that someone out there has heard this and received a spark of hope or inspiration from hearing you share your story with such clarity and courage. So thank you.
Yeah, I did want to say something to that, if that's okay.
Go for it.
It is vulnerable to share, but I feel so called to share because there's all of these things that we've experienced that we don't necessarily talk about that much. And in my experience of first sort of entering into spiritual communities and spiritual groups and just feeling like it was all love and light, you know, like, and thinking, where do I fit in here? Where do I fit in here with the darkness that I have explored and the shadow realms that I have encountered and explored as part of my path that informed my medicine? Do I pretend that I haven't traversed these shadow realms so I can be love and light? So yeah, it's important me to just be in my truth and share even topics that can be faced with judgment, because there are so many of us who have walked this. It's not rare. It's not uncommon that we've had these experiences and that we've walked through and explored different aspects of this planet Earth, which is the duality. And there's light and there's dark and no judgment towards the darkness. It's all there and part of us, and when we don't talk about it, it is in the shadow and it distorts. And I just love the freedom to be here and be able to talk about it and share and know that my journey may connect with others who resonate and feel a connection through this medium and through our stories, because our stories are important. And yeah, and no part of them needs to be edited out. That's what I want to say is there's, you know, yeah.
Totally. I'm rambling now,
but you know what I mean.
Totally. And you know, I can definitely resonate with that, because the whole like just love and light, like love and light's amazing. Yes, love and light, and let's all amplify love and light. But then to really do that, we have to own our shadows and to move through those judgments and those fears and the shame and the guilt and the blame and all that, and to love those shadow parts too. And really, I mean, that I feel like, you know, the full spectrum is what love and light applies to, not just to being some perfect version of this, like, perfect someone who's doing spirituality perfectly and who's always perfect. It's like, no, love and light is like, you got to look at the tough shit and love it. Like, oh, I feel like we could just keep going on that for a while.
I know. So, for some reason, I'm like thinking, work that shadow, girl.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good note to end on.
I love it. And I know a lot of listeners feel it too, because this is something that comes up. And I just want everyone to take a deep breath and let themselves be who they are and own that and love themselves despite all of their shadow.
Love your shadow.
Love it. Awesome. So everybody check out Rhiannon at rhiannonmorsch.com and on Instagram at rhiannonmorsch. And you can check out those links on the show notes page for this episode. Her name is spelled R-H-I-A-N-N-O-N. So you can go search that if you're listening to this after this first goes live. You can still go to the dreamfreedombeauty.com and search her name. It'll pop right up. And you know, just thank you so much for coming on the show and for doing the work you do and for sharing your story. And I look forward to continuing to watch it all unfold.
Thank you, Natalie.